chapter 8, verse 6. Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself, for the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests. But the word of the oath, which is taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The main point of what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle that the Lord, not man, set up. Now every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifice, thus the necessity for this one also to have something to offer. If then he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law. They worship in a copy and shadow of the heavenly sanctuary, as Moses was warned when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For God says, "See that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain." Now he has obtained so much more excellent a ministry as he is mediator of a better covenant, enacted on better promises. And so the word of the Lord. Well, I like priests, not always in groups. Sometimes a strange dynamic takes over, and some of them even wear special hats and have special postures. But as individuals, there's something special about every person who has taken on the adventure of priesthood. It's very interesting to hear their personal stories. As I say, I like priests. As a Dominican, I've had a variety of jobs, sometimes as pastor, but often in some specialized ministries, giving retreats, campus ministry, working with the formation of seminarians, and so on. As a result, I've had countless opportunities to help out in parishes and other situations when the pastor was shorthanded, or he just wanted his people to hear another voice. When you visit like this, it's not long before you begin to see what's going on in the parish. A small country parish where the pastor is providing a sense of the sacred in the lives of ordinary people. Or the busy city parish where the pastor provides a focal point for the rich diversity of people that have often remarkable skills. Here he provides a community and gives expression to the sacred aspirations of his people. And here you will say, "What in the world are you talking about? Go take another look." Well, certainly, there are failures. But there are also people who are doing a remarkable job. Whenever I move to a new area, I always try and watch what's going on, and I usually discover some wonderful expressions of faith in the local parish communities. That's not to say I don't notice the failures. These are sometimes quite remarkable, like a recent sermon I heard where the priest limited himself to theological jargon from the 3rd century. Unbelievable. Or the wonderful eccentric who at the last moment decided he needed to face east to properly offer Mass. So he went around to the front of the altar with his back to the people and balanced on a narrow step and kept the rest of us on edge, wondering when he was going to fall down. One could go on with such stories, but recently I'm finding something new in the mix. Today's readings are especially helpful in all this. The enumeration of better gifts and offered by the priest contrasts nicely with the priesthood of Jesus, who concentrates on meeting our deepest needs, healing us, leading us on a journey to the Father, all of us. What I'm finding among people who take their faith seriously and even see their baptismal role as, in a particular way, a participation in the very priesthood of Christ, is their longing for an intelligent presentation of our Catholic belief. And they want to be an active part of that. This happens in two areas. First, in preaching and worship. We must gain access to the sacred. It also happens when the worshiping community applies its faith experience to the practical challenges of secular society. Never underestimate the intelligence and ingenuity of the believer. even a person with the simplest grasp of educational skills can be rooted in the wisdom of the gospel because of the simple faith. They profess their experience of the life of the Spirit alive within them. The common priesthood that arises out of our baptism leads us to celebrate the mystery of God present in a delightful way in each soul as it responds to the life of God in the Eucharist. What a joy it is to meet people at this level of their experience of God's presence among us. But it all starts with a deep respect for the intelligence and goodness of the believing Christian who presents himself or herself for this fuller experience of the Eucharist and all its meaning. The true sense of the sacred is grounded in truth, not mannerisms. And so the celebrant needs to pay special attention to the hunger for truth and beauty that is part of the gift the ordinary believer brings to worship. This is a good starting point. In the Mass, both the priest, celebrant, and the worshiping community engage one another in what is really taking place. The very God of all life and beauty is present in human physical form in communion with this miracle of life, and we're swept up in the loving realization of God's care for each one of us, alive with God. This is the central act of our shared priesthood. The wonderful feature of this is that it may have a million other expressions as the laity bring that experience into everyday life through acts of loving service, forgiveness, and care for others. We enact the sacred, and its consequences reverberate out to the ends of all creation. Recently, there have been some attempts to encourage the sense of the sacred in worship through new translations and a reintroduction of customs from the recent immediate past. Lace, bells, capes and drapes, smoke, obscure, often precious language and gestures. While well-intended, this misses the point and is alarmingly counterproductive. Priestcraft can not only distance the celebrant from the worshipers, but can produce a counterfeit sense of the sacred. The sacred is pure, true, simple, honest. It is intelligent, direct, and beautiful, and it is for everyone. By respecting the intelligence of the believer, as it is found by faith and by inviting them, in the simplest terms, to enter the mystery of salvation, to enact the legitimate priesthood that is theirs, we discover this marvelous richness of God's salvation alive within us. In today's gospel, the crowd presses upon Jesus. They want results, to be cured, to rid themselves of sin, grief, and sorrow. But Jesus would do more for us. Why, you are the Son of God. The spirits of sorrow are forced to cry out. But with the enactment of our common priesthood in prayer and union with Jesus, and attentiveness to what we're doing, we reach a new level of recognition. The presence of the living God in the depths of our being, mind, heart, and spirit resonating with the very life of God. What a joy it is to discover this experience in the parish community gathered around the altar of praise and also in the heart and life of the priest who would serve them.